High-level budget talks to resume with parties reported far apart. Business year starts with recession jitters. Tobacco makers unite against federal rules on teen smoking. Good Tuesday morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. It is now day 18 of the partial federal shutdown, with civil servants like Derek Chapman of Perry Point, Maryland, fending off the bill collectors.
We have about 2 weeks of, in my family of money left. If we don't get paid within the next 2 or 3 weeks, it could be a big hardship. No bills will be paid.
With the Washington Post reporting virtually zero progress in the latest high-level budget negotiations, President Clinton and GOP congressional leaders have another session later today, Mark Noller reports.
It's a brand new year, but it's the same old budget stalemate. Even so, aides say the president and congressional leaders resume negotiations late this afternoon a bit ahead of the game. They've made progress on some of the less contentious issues in the budget battle, and now the leaders are at the point where they will begin to negotiate trade-offs on the toughest components of the budget plan: funding levels for Medicare, Medicaid, and the size of a tax cut. And though some on the sidelines say the president and congressional leaders should just split the differences between them on those issues, White House spokesman Mike McCurry says that is not the way to make policy. In fact, it's so complex and the ideological differences so deep, McCurry says the White House is still not sure it's possible to work out a balanced budget plan, though it's willing to keep trying. Mark Noller, CBS News, at the White House.
The National Treasury Employees Union has gone to court seeking to end any requirement for its members to work without an assurance they'll be paid. Union President Robert Tobias.
It's not their fault. They're not involved. And we believe that the Constitution prohibits the president from obligating funds until Congress appropriates monies.
The economy will be a critical factor in this presidential election year, and as business correspondent Ray Brady reports, there are some storm signals.
As Americans head back to work this morning, economists don't have many cheery words about what they can expect in the new year. At best, they believe business will move at a slow, sluggish pace. But a growing number are also beginning to use the dreaded R word. Economist Dr. Edward Yardeni.
There's an increasing chance of a recession, at least in the first half, maybe a 30% risk of such an event.
Yardeni points out that consumers still are not spending money, and they're a huge part of this American economy. And economies around the world are all anemic. What's all this mean for the stock market in the new year? Probably that the Dow Jones Industrial Average hovers around its current 5,000 level. No more of those fireworks that made the old year so memorable. Ray Brady, CBS News, New York.
AT&T says it will lay off about 30,000 supervisory workers as part of its plan to split into three separate companies. Another 10,500 positions will be cut through voluntary severance and divestitures. AT&T spokesman Burke Stinson.
The jobs will begin to be phased out this month. We had a buyout offer in November, and 6,500 managers volunteered, and another 4,000 people could shift to companies we plan to sell.
Five major U.S. cigarette makers reportedly have united to argue that the FDA exceeded its authority with a plan to restrict minors' access to tobacco products. The cigarette makers contend the FDA's proposal would violate U.S. law and even the Constitution. On the other side, the attorneys general of 28 states are siding with the FDA rules. A newly identified gene has been linked to an inherited heart disorder that can kill young, otherwise healthy people. Jacqueline Adams reports on this key to long QT syndrome.
Researchers at the Howard Hughes Medical Institute in Utah have just discovered the gene primarily responsible for this genetic heart disorder. The news in this month's Nature Genetics magazine is a giant step toward a complete understanding of both the origin and treatment of this inherited irregular heartbeat. Dr. Mark Keating is the chief researcher.
That treatment will work and will revolutionize not just inherited long QT syndrome, but cardiac arrhythmias in general.
Doctors say heart arrhythmias kill some 300,000 Americans each year. Now, thanks to the latest genetic discoveries, some of those deaths may be preventable. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, New York.
Other genetic studies have discovered a gene that could influence how excitable and impulsive people are. A man accused of stalking Madonna is on trial in Los Angeles, but as David Dow reports, the victim has been a reluctant witness.
Pop singer Madonna may not have to put up or show up when court convenes today in the case of a man accused of stalking and threatening her. Madonna's lawyers had argued she was too busy and too tired to testify against Robert Hoskins. But Judge Andrew Kaufman ordered her to appear today or face a $5 million arrest warrant. However, attorneys in the case appear prepared to ask the trial judge to put off her appearance until Wednesday to avoid two encounters with a mob of news people. Today, they'll argue, will likely be consumed by jury selection anyway, with little time for Madonna's testimony. A prosecutor says Madonna has agreed to testify. David Dow, CBS News, Los Angeles.
6 minutes past the hour. Zapatista rebels in the Mexican state of Chiapas want to switch gears, shifting their focus from armed struggle to politics. The announcement came in a videotape featuring a masked rebel leader. More on the rebel conversion from newswoman Adrienne Bard in Mexico City.
On the second anniversary of their uprising against the Mexican government, Indian rebels in the state of Chiapas announced their guerrilla army will convert to a political force. The announcement was made in a videotape by the rebel leader known as Marcos, who remains in hiding in the jungle. The video marked the culmination of 4 days of festivities celebrating the January 1, 1994 uprising. 150 people died in the fighting between the Mayan descendants and federal troops. The rebels say they plan to continue their struggle to improve life for Mexico's millions of poor Indians through political action. But they added they are not interested in attaining power or running the country. Adrienne Bard for CBS News, Mexico City.
Time on the World News Roundup this Tuesday morning, 7.5 minutes past the hour. It has been over 16 months since the father of NBA star Michael Jordan was murdered. Today, lawyers for one of his accused killers will try to suppress a videotape of him showing off an NBA championship ring and a team watch. More from Jim Crisula.
2.5 years after James Jordan was murdered, opening arguments are set to begin this week in Lumberton, North Carolina, in Daniel Green's murder trial. Police charged Green and co-defendant Larry Demery with robbing and murdering Michael Jordan's father as James Jordan rested in his car. Demery has pleaded guilty and will testify against his lifelong friend. Prosecutor Johnson Britt doubts Michael Jordan will appear at the trial.
This trial has been a media event for the last, 2.5 years. I don't think he wants it to happen, and certainly what I don't want to happen is for it to go from being a media event to a media circus.
The trial is expected to last at least a month and will attract international media attention. Jim Crisula for CBS News, Greensboro, North Carolina.
Northwestern University may have lost the Rose Bowl to USC, but the fact they got there at all was a Cinderella story. Alumnus Charles Burgell watched the game in Pasadena.
To come so far from where they were when I was there, where they were winning a couple of games a year, it's no shame to be the second best or the third best in the country.
WBBM's Ginny Casolo talked to fans in Chicago.
It may have been midnight for the Cinderella team, but Northwestern supporters say they still had a ball. Robert Levy, who graduated from Northwestern and now teaches there, watched the game from a charity Rose Bowl party blocks from the campus.
When I was an undergraduate, we would go a whole year and be disappointed if Northwestern won a game because it would break the longest losing streak in history. So to think of Northwestern as an academic and an athletic prowess is amazing to me. And I think it does wonders for the morale of the school and for its reputation nationally. So I think it's great.
Levy says it's too bad they lost the Rose Bowl, but he says he never envisioned this kind of a season. Ginny Cosola for CBS News, Chicago.
Tonight, the Fiesta Bowl will decide college football's number one team as top-ranked Nebraska takes on number two Florida. This Cornhusker fan notes that Florida quarterback Danny Werfel hails from Nebraska.
The kid grew up in Lincoln, so he learned how to play ball the Husker way. But when he gets bumped the Husker way, it's going to be hard for them to get anything generated.
Overseas, the dollar is mixed. London gold is up 50 cents, and on Wall Street, the Dow is ahead 12.28. It's 10 past.